We're going to continue with the prophecy, people. I just want to remind you that the first prophecy God gave us absolutely came to pass, people. He said something major was coming, and it has. The bombing of Israel and all the things that are ensuing from it. He said a major thing is coming, and then things after that, and they are. And so, you know, God wants to lead us and guide us, and we cannot shun prophecy. We cannot close down our ears. There are people that don't believe, even in our church, have a hard time believing that it's God speaking. I feel badly for you, because in Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And I've tried to explain to you that Pastor and I we'll never call ourselves prophets. We don't call ourselves anything. We're just servants of God. I'm not kidding you. We used to go to conventions and ministers and, well, what do you do? And what is your title? And, you know, oh my gosh, it was kind of sad. But for us, we're just servants of the Lord Most High. And that's who we are. You'll never catch me calling myself Prophetess Eva Snyder. And that never happened. Pastor does not call himself a prophet, but we have a prophetic anointing in this ministry. And especially because God equips, when he appoints, he anoints. And he anointed us with a prophetic anointing because we are an end time ministry. Pastor doesn't like that too much, but I believe with all my heart that we are here to help the people get ready for the Lord and usher in the return of the Lord. And just, you know, it's that's who we are. So this prophecy that the Lord gave me, the second one, and he did say that he was going to start releasing prophecies periodically, not every Sunday, not every time I minister, but he is going to release prophecies to let us know what's the next step. And right now, let's look at the prophecy, okay? Sarge's prophetic message. This is the second prophecy he's given us. This isn't a fair fight. What's happening in the world right now is not fair. It's not right. It has no righteousness in it. It is not of God. It is pure evil. What is happening in the world is evil run amok. And so it's not a fair fight for anyone. I would dare any of the men in our church, you know, who tend to be the stronger vessel, if you want to call it that way. They are stronger. I want to see them stop a nuclear bomb midair. Now, you might be able to, and I pray that you try, and I pray that you know how to pray that way. That would be amazing. What a testimony for the Lord. But the bottom line is, nobody can figure out who is a terrorist here. Nobody can figure out what's the next thing that's going to happen in our country. This is not a fair fight. We need to wrap our head around that. Amen. If it's fought in the natural. So God is saying, if you're going to fight it in the natural, you're already done. It's not going to be fair, and you're going to lose. And he said, in the end, you really are warring against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness. It's not against flesh and blood. So stop looking and blaming. Stop looking at and blaming people and things that you see. Understand that all of this is being orchestrated by your enemy. Stop him at every turn. So level the playing field. Bring in all the weapons of warfare that I've given you. Call upon your angels. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will approach things with his mighty power and not your limited human power. Like I said, there's no way that one man can stop a nuclear bomb. There's no way that one man can come against Congress and, you know, clean out all the stuff that shouldn't be happening in there. So, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will approach things with his mighty power and not your limited human power. And remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When I'm in the battle, I'm in a battle right now, people. I am fighting the good fight on a few areas, actually. And I'm fighting the good fight. And I just tell myself, you can do this, Eva. You can do all things ever through Christ who strengthens you. And I school myself into victory. I'm my own cheerleader. You know, the buck stops here. I'm people's cheerleader everywhere. I'm cheering a lot of people right now that are fighting their good fight. But for me, I have to do it to myself. And I'll tell myself that, Eva, you can do this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Your salvation from this hour of trial depends on you doing your part to overcome. God's not going to rescue you if you're in the corner sniveling and falling apart and, you know, thinking the end of the world is here, the end of the world is here. You know, what can I do? It's just over. It's over. No. You have to make the decision to overcome. I pray with all my heart that you are standing when the Lord comes and not on your knees or on the ground because you've been overwhelmed and overtaken. So dedicate and decide, I'm going to overcome. Therefore, set yourself to overcome so I can save you. You must determine this first and make your stand so I can move for you. Now go. Run through the obstacles and threats in front of you. For I, the Lord, am with you even to the ends of the earth. Let's say, and you know what, guys? I put an order for Costco. They used to send everything. Every single item that I ordered, we're getting like half to a third of the orders that we're putting in. And, you know, we're having issues getting stuff in. I told you there's an embargo going on, China, there's an issue there, all kinds of things. So it's affecting our food supply. It's affecting, you know, there's all kinds of things happening with our food supply, people, that are very, very strange. So, you know, let's say that there isn't any food or there's very little food coming in. Start learning how to multiply it, how to pray over it and multiply it so that it'll feed you one meal at a time. There was a little lady in China when we were first starting off in the ministry. We would used to go to a lot of conventions. And one of them that we went to, this guy who was a missionary taught the story of this little Chinese lady. They went to China. And he said that this little lady had nothing. She was literally forsaken. I mean, I don't know what happened, if she had children or not, but she was all alone in a tiny little tenement, in a little hut. And she had no money, no food, no one to take care of her. But she was such a giver. She loved to give, even though she had nothing. She was very lovely as a person. She was a total Christian. And the whole village knew about her. And one day, you know, a missionary came into town and she brought in her little tithe. And you know what her tithe was? Half a bowl of rice that was left over, you know, that she hadn't eaten yet, but that was it. That was her last little bowl. And then she had to figure out how to get the next bowl. And that's all she ate was rice. And she brought this little rice in a bowl. It wasn't cooked. So she brought it in. And she brought it up to the altar to tithe the little half a little bowl of rice. And the missionary felt so bad. And, you know, one of the people standing next to him told him, this lady has nothing. I don't know that we should take this. And he was about to tell her, no, you don't have to give the last little bit of your rice. And the Lord stopped him. And people, later on, he found out that when that little old lady went home, they put the little rice in a sack, and I don't know what they did with it, but anyway, it was part of her. It was the only thing she could tithe. She went home, and after that, the people in the village would come to see her and look at her because they couldn't believe it. After that, every time that she would empty out the bowl to cook the rice that she had in there, it would fill up supernaturally. I mean, the rice would come from heaven because she had tithed the last little bit of rice she had. The little bowl would fill up right in front of people's eyes. Jesus did pretty much the same thing when he prayed over two fish and five loaves. Two fish and five loaves. I dare say that's not even enough for Pastor Bill. or Pastor Bill's family. And that day, people, after Jesus prayed, they were able to feed 5,000 men, over 5,000 men, not including women and children that were there as well, from 2 fish and 5 loaves. So we got to determine that no matter what, God is with us, and we're going to start conquering whatever comes against us. Amen. That is your job. That is your role. That's why you're here. That's why you were sent here at this time, is because God knows you're a warrior. God put a warrior spirit in you. And you know what God is doing, especially with our men right now? We're getting them going first, and then the women are next, and then even the children. And what God is doing, he's quickening the spirit of the warrior in our men. He is calling them to him. He is bringing them to the table. And he is starting to impart the very knowledge, the very wisdom, the very strength that our men need to do their job as the head of the household. So, let's continue. Your salvation from this hour. Oh, sorry. We're at the bottom here. Now go, run through the obstacles and threats in front of you, for I, the Lord, am with you, even to the ends of the earth. Last night, I laid down to go to sleep. And the, you know, I heard this link of this guy saying that for sure we're already in World War III. There's no doubt about it, people. It's just how it's going to hit home here in America. But the war has started. And I went to sleep. I laid down. And let me tell you, for the first time, I think, you know, ever here during the pandemic, that the notion hit me about World War III. I get to teach next Sunday, and I pray you show up. I'm going to give you so much information about how to deal with thoughts like that. So I went, you know, I laid down, and then it disrupted my sleep, because for about the next 2 hours, my mind got active and I had to keep shutting it down. But it was, I was thinking about, what is that going to look like? What's that? What is that going to mean? You know, I mean, dear God, World War III, you know, it's what I heard this one military man, I mean, he's way up there in the military, and he said, that's the end game. This war is going to be the end game. But what does it matter, people? What does it matter that the world is coming to an end? The world, what does it matter if that's what's going to happen, when we belong to a different kingdom? We belong to God, and we are going to be with him. He is going to come and take his people. So, you know, we got to wrap our head around what we truly believe. Do you believe these things? And I told you guys years ago, I said, I feel very sorry for every one of you in this church. Well, every Christian is going to have to do this. But I feel very sorry for you, because now your religion is going to get tested. What you think you believe is going to get tested. Do you believe there is a God? Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that believes that he is. No. For without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Whoever comes to God must believe.
For, yes. I'm sorry. I'm going on 4 hours of sleep because we forgot to fall back. So we didn't set our clocks back. And then because I stayed up thinking about World War III, then, you know, so bear with me, okay? But I'll get the information to you. God will make sure that I do that. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So right off the bat, we got to believe that there's a God and that he's a rewarder of those who are seeking him. You're seeking him this morning. You're in church. I am so proud of you. You're in church. You continue. This church is so blessed, man. We may not be 10,000 strong, but the people that we have, we're averaging such a high rate for the small amount of members that we have. We're proud of you. You are continuing, amen? So you are to run through the hurdles, no matter what you hear, whether if it's, you know, a shortage, thank you, my son, whether you hear it's a shortage of food, whether you hear that there's a terrorist, you know, threat, you know, or an MP3 on its way, MP, what is that?
I don't know what you're
talking about. Magnetic pulse, something,
EMP.
Or an EMP. See, I told you, I know these things, but my mind is saying we won't go to sleep. No, I'm going to overcome this in Jesus' name. So whatever you hear, you know, if they drop an EMP, that means no communication. You know, my daughter is living in the East Coast now. And I have to fight that and say, no, God will supernaturally allow me to reach my child one way or another. And I refuse to go into fear. I tell myself that daily, sometimes several times a day, I refuse to go into fear. I refuse. I refuse it. I refuse it. I refuse it. I will not go into fear because now I am completely Satan's. Now he's got me completely under his control. Do you understand? So I school myself every day. I encourage myself. I push myself forward. Eva, you will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid, Father. I don't care. Like I said, I'm fighting a big battle right now. It's pretty alarming. And you know what? I'm not afraid. I tell myself all the time, I refuse to be afraid. When I look at the symptoms, I refuse fear in Jesus' name. I'm going to run through that obstacle and I'm going to have the most beautiful, powerful testimony before long of how the word works, how God loves people, loves me. The word works for me and we have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. So now go run through the obstacles and threats in front of you for the Lord, for I, the Lord, am with you even to the ends of the earth. And he keeps telling us that, people, he's with us even to the ends of the earth. He's not going to leave us. But know this, if you do not approach this day spiritually, you will lose. That's a warning. It's so scriptural. Oh my gosh, if you don't believe me, text me and I'll send you scriptures that'll prove this. You cannot approach this day in the natural. It must be done in the spiritual. Your failure is more certainly guaranteed, and great destruction awaits. We don't want that, people. No, we've not been chosen for great destruction. We've been chosen for great victory. We've been chosen to bring in demon heads before the Lord and say, Lord, I slew many in the name of Jesus. So remember your training. Remember, swords, you've been trained. You've seen us pray. You've seen us believe God. You've seen the miracles over and over that Pastor and I live in, our family lives in. We have so many testimonies, people, even our children. Our children have such amazing, powerful testimonies. So we've brought that to the table. Remember your training, swords. Remember my word. And remember your God. Now go and show me what you're made of. Now listen to me very carefully. You, before it's over, you're going to end up showing the Lord what you're made of. Good or bad. Good or bad. That's why he told me when I was fighting for my life in 1983, Eva, take it like a man. Because I was in the corner, sniveling, falling apart, so afraid that I was being judged. And people, I'm telling you, before this is over, we're all going to show the Lord what we're made out of. Amen. Prophecy breakdown. This is Satan's hour. He's using people to get his will done. Come against him, bind him, stop him. He's at the root of all the evil that's happening. He's the source of it all. Number two, in wisdom. Use wisdom, people. Level the playing field. Satan doesn't play fair. Don't play fair with him. Don't go one-on-one with him. You've got some serious stuff that you can count on. So level the playing field. Bring in all the weapons of warfare. Call upon your angels. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Approach things with Holy Ghost power and not your limited human power. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We must do our part to overcome by a sheer determination and stand so Christ can save us. Remember, you have to demonstrate faith that God is going to help you, that God is going to help you overcome. But if you're in the corner, falling apart, pulling out your hair because you're so afraid, then understand you're not giving the Lord anything to work with. Amen. We are to go now and run through the obstacles and threats in front of us. Don't let anything stop us. Take it like a man. If we do not approach this day spiritually, our failure is most certainly guaranteed, and great destruction awaits us. We must remember our training, remember His word, and remember our God. We are to go now and show the Lord what we're made of. We must remember who God is. This is not a fight we can win without Him. Never forget your God. Don't go into any battle without God. How do we bring God in? By saying, God, please be with me. Oh, God, I'm hoping you're going to be with me. No, you go to God by praying and saying, Lord, you love me. You never forsake me. Father God, you are on my side, Father God. You want me to get the victory, Father God. Your word is replete. It is full of scriptures that tell me how much you want to help me and how you will help me. You've got to go to God and speak that way. Amen. Who is God? He is the fourth man in the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a warring God who can still treat gently those with young. So God has the perfect balance of that of a father and a mother. He has the perfect balance of being a warring God and yet helping those women with young that are still taking care of their babies. Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord if you want to see the goodness of the Lord. If you believe that you can see the goodness of the Lord, you will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 73:25. Who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. What do you desire on earth, people, beside Him? My flesh and my heart fail, and they want to. It's daunting what's coming, people, and what's happening right now. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So when you start feeling scared or you lack courage or you start pulling back or whatever, you feel threatened, all of that, just say, Lord, you are the strength of my heart and you are my portion, my lot, what I have inherited. You are it, God. Amen. Psalms 18:29. For by you, it's 18:29-35. For by you, I can run against a troop. Oh my God, people, please take a picture of this or look it up. This is an awesome psalm to overcome. And you're going to see some of the descriptions here of what are literally happening right now on our earth. So, for by you, I can run against a troop, which means a crowd. Oh man, they're gathering, aren't they? The crowds, especially of soldiers. The soldiers are gathering. They are shoving equipment all over the United States, man. Entire caravans of stuff coming and soldiers. And then it's an army, a band of men. You know, unfortunately, you know, some of the people that have crossed over are getting desperate. They're not finding jobs. And as band of men and women, some of them are doing some criminal acts, people, because they're getting hungry. We got to start praying for the homeless population because winter is coming and they're going to get even more desperate. Amen. But look, for by you, I can run against that group of people. Amen. And then troop, which means of robbers. And that's certainly happening. You know, a lot of theft is happening. But by you, I can run against all that. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Now, I'm hanging on to this one Because sometimes getting up off a chair is a little challenge. No, not really. But, you know, it's to leap over a wall. I want to be able to do that. In Jesus' name, if I have to, God will supernaturally lunge me over that wall. Amen? Glory to God. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for my God, his way is perfect. That means entire, full of integrity, full of truth, and he's complete. Amen? Look at that. The word of the Lord, for our God is perfect. And then the word of the Lord is proven. That means it's been refined and purged. It's been tested. It's been tried, and it works every single time. He is a shield, which is a defense to all who trust in him. Trust in him, and he'll defend you. Trust in God, and he'll defend you. Praise God. 31, for who is God except the Lord? That's right. Only our God is Lord, and only the Lord is God. And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. So strength is force, ability, virtue, might, and valor. That's what God will arm you with if you will go to him. See, one of two things is going to happen. There's a counterfeit God with a little g, and that's called Satan. And then there's God of the universe, of everything, the creator of everything. Amen. You're going to go to either one during this time, people. Why not start now going to God for everything? Amen. If you feel a little depressed, Father, I come to you. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your rest, Lord. Fill me with your joy in Jesus' name. Fill me with your strength, Father God. I want to have force, ability, virtue, might, valor from you, Lord. Amen. By the way, any of these forces that God gives us, like I explained last week, like the armor of God, those forces are of God. That's what he lives in. The environment of peace, the environment of rest, the environment of joy. You know, he gets grieved with man, but himself, he doesn't have to deal with, he's not that person. He's not like us. So go to him for these things and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. God's going to rescue you. He's going to rescue us and put us on the high places if he needs to. Amen. There are some scriptures, people, that allude to the fact that, you know, go to the mountains. I'm not saying nothing. 34, he teaches my hands to make war, which means fighting and a battle and to be a warrior. So God's teaching us right now, people, through these teachings, through what Pastor is teaching in this church, God is teaching us how to make war, how to do your fighting. Now, don't ever, ever take on, you know, we've come out of so much, guys, you don't even know. There was a time when intercessors would literally start fighting, like pretending that we're fighting demons, you know, and trying to knock them out. And I see you, Satan, take this. And that's not an intercessor. That's an actor. We don't take on a physical fight. Everything that we're going to do going forward, please listen to me. Everything that you are going to do going forward is going to be in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. You can't win in the natural. That's what God is trying to tell us. We're not going to win in the natural. You're not going to stop what's coming. But God will teach us how to make war, how to fight. Fight a nuclear bomb. Fight, a terrorist attack. Fight an EMP. Fight, you know, famine. He's teaching us how to do battle, how to be a warrior, but in the spirit realm. Okay? So that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. I've been asking Pastor to show me how to shoot a bow and arrow. I think they are so awesome and beautiful. But with God's help, we can bend back that bow, even if it's a bow of bronze. That's hard to bend, people. But with God, all things are possible. 35, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. God has given us the shield, people, that protects us. And that shield brings liberty, deliverance, prosperity, and safety. Amen? He has given us his shield. And we can expect these things. This is where you go into warfare. You say, you start hearing about, you know, famine or a lack of, or the banks all crash, whatever is going to happen. Oh my gosh. Then you say, no, Lord, you have given me the shield of salvation, which brings prosperity to me. I am a tither. I've been tithing to my church faithfully. And Father, I'm in covenant with you. And financially, Father God, you will prosper me in the time of famine. In Jesus' name, Lord. That's how you do your fighting and your battles. And then your right hand has held me up. The right hand always represents the righteousness of God, the authority, the Godship of God, his authority, all of it. So he holds us up with the powerful hand that he has. Remember your weapons. Put on the whole armor. The armor of God, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And going into spiritual battle, which is done in prayer, in the war room, your armor must be your primary consideration. Like any soldier, you must gear up. That's what they call it in military terms. When they say, gear up now, then that means go in there and put on everything that you need. Your boots, your pants, of course, your shirt, your vest, your bulletproof vest, your helmet, your gloves, your rifle, all of that. That's gearing up. Amen? You are to gear up whenever you're assaulted by the enemy or by this world or by life or by people or even by yourself. Amen. Sometimes we're our worst enemy in that we want to quit. We want to get into sin. We want to fall apart. So gear up. Number two, the armor is supernatural. Each piece releases a spiritual force. It aids in us being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. These forces make us fit for battle. Your armor is supernatural. Again, we knew of people that would literally say, Lord, I'm going into the prayer room and I'm going to put on my armor. And they would literally pretend that they would pick up the helmet and put it on their head. Maybe it helped them, you know, maybe I shouldn't knock it. But honestly, people, if you understand how this works, those are just symbolic. The helmet is symbolic of what it means, of what it carries to you. For instance, the helmet of salvation. It is, it's the helmet of salvation that protects, it saves your mind during the warfare. I was doing some research on the armor and I couldn't believe, I knew instantly that these people that were putting out these teachings were not spirit-filled. Because of the way they explained it, it was very, very, very like milk. And those the weapons of warfare are serious business to God. It is not about, oh, I'm going to put on the helmet so I won't sin, like some people were saying. That's not what it's about. Not at all. Oh, people, I could spend weeks and weeks on the armor. So remember, your armor is supernatural. You need it because you're going to be fighting supernaturally, not naturally. Amen? And then number three, you are to put on the whole armor of God, all six pieces of it. Each is important. They all work in conjunction. They all work together. One reinforces the power of the other. So my helmet of salvation is working with the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is working with the belt of truth. They all work each other, they fortify each other very powerfully. Number four, be completely aware that this is the armor of God. These spiritual forces are what he stands on himself. People, you know, some people tend to think that God is just God and he doesn't need to be strong and he doesn't need. No, These are the forces flowing out of God. This is what makes God God. And God is so generous, people, that he's sharing with us his strength, his might, his ability, truth, you know, the helmet of salvation. He's sharing all of it with us so that like him who gets the victory every time, we will get the victory every time. Amen. Glory to God, people. God is so good and so precious. Ephesians 6:11, that you may be able to stand. Notice it says stand, not crawl, not crawl and beg, not lay down on the corner and hide. No, you are to stand. Stand up like a man of war. Stand up like a warrior. Stand up like a child of God. Stand up like you know the word. Stand up like you know your God. Stand up like you know your rights. Amen. Stand. Stand. Don't ever be caught falling down spiritually. You are to be standing on your feet when the Lord returns. Amen. We owe him that much. He went through a lot to make us overcomers. He went through a lot to make us real sons of God. Amen. So that you may be able to stand. That means abide, continue against the wiles, the trickery, the schemes of the devil. So in order to beat the devil, you got to be standing. You can't let him have the advantage. That's what happened to me, people, in 1983. First 6 months, I was in the corner, afraid. I was being beat 24/7 by the devil because I didn't know anything. I didn't know my rights. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know the armor. I didn't know the word. I was caught unprepared. And we are trying in this last, you know, time that we have here. It could be years still. I'm serious, people. It could be years before we even have World War III. It has started, but it might not rev up for another 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I kind of have the sense of that, but I know that around 2030, some stuff's really going to start to happen. We have a few years. So we're trying this last minute training for you to get you geared up. Amen. For we do not wrestle. That means fight or struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. When one of my kids was a teenager, I'm not going to say who they were because that's not what matters. This is a principle I'm teaching here. They were being pretty disrespectful. Like all teenagers, right around 16, you know, we all thought we knew it all. And, you know, we think our parents are the stupidest people on the planet, you know, until we get into our 20s and we realize how brilliant they actually were. But, you know, this one child of mine was very, very difficult and I didn't know what to do. And so I went to the Lord and I'm like, Lord, my child, they're speaking so in a hostile manner, they're being disrespectful. I'm concerned for them because I know that we're all supposed to respect our mother and father. And I said, Lord, you know, this is not right. I don't like that. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, you don't know what they are going through. There's a major target on them, not only as a little believer, but also because they are children of pastors. So the devil is harassing them day and night. Why don't you pray for them? Intercede for them. See, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So many times we'll get in there, guys, and we'll fight battles in the natural. Oh, no, you won't speak to me like that. Oh, no, I am going to punish you. And we come against the natural instead of praying and helping the people that are struggling. So your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the devil who's pulling everybody's string. Number 5, the devil is more cunning and evil than any other created thing. He uses anything to trick us into defeat. He is a masterful liar. There is no earthly human match for him whatsoever. Understand who you're dealing with. Satan is so shrewd and so cunning And he has tricks and schemes that he uses on humanity day and night. You don't believe me? What happened in heaven with the angels? All those angels were God's loving servants. All those angels lived with God and they loved God. And one guy that turned against God out of pride, Satan thought, I can take him. I can raise my throne above him. Look at him. He's all meek and humble. And yeah, you know, sure, he created everything, but we can take him. And he misunderstood the power of humility, the power of our God in faith and peace. And he thought he would take him on. And he was able to deceive a third of the angels, people. You don't believe that Satan's that sharp? Look at what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam was a genius times a thousand. The things he was doing on the earth were beyond our imagination and brilliance. But they fell. They were tricked. They were duped. So were you. So am I. And so we have to understand that who we are dealing with is something we need to take very seriously. He will talk you into anything. Is he not talking the leaders of this entire world into anything? He is completely pulling all the strings and orchestrating the most vicious, vile end of humanity. He is very, very smart. He knows how to lie. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he is not someone that you can ever take on. You don't even bother with him. You go straight to prayer in your armor and you bring him down. He cannot stop your authority. He cannot. And you've been given in Luke 10:17. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have authority over him in the spirit realm, not in the natural. Amen. Glory to God. 6, he's turned us against each other. The only way to continue to stand against him is to be clothed in spiritual truth and wisdom. And in our warfare, armor. Truth and wisdom. Why do you think, people, we fight so much to protect the word, the integrity of the word in this church? Why do you think we've paid the price of not compromising the truth? It's because truth is the only thing that can save us. When you're in the middle of a fight and the devil comes up and he distorts what's going on in your life, if you fall for it, not knowing the real truth of what God says about it, you're going down. You're going down. 6, Satan's turned us against each other. But he is the one that we are to wrestle with. Right now, people, this world is becoming very violent. People are getting very, very offended. You know, they call them Karens. I don't know what they call them, and maybe Kents. In the natural, I mean, they just get road rage out of control. The devil is turning us and loving it against each other. You must make the decision, people, that you're not going to lose your humanity and your decency in this hour of great pressure. Amen. You know, instead of fighting someone or shooting someone for a loaf of bread because your family is starving, you know, at home, no. Learn to get what you need from God supernaturally. He's not going bankrupt. He's not experiencing famine. Go to God. Amen. So he is the source of all evil as a puppeteer. Satan is just laughing, people, pulling all the strings of all the heads of state, all the governments around the world. And they've bought in. If you follow me, he whispers day and night, if you do what I tell you, I will make you the power, the most powerful, the greatest power on the earth. Just do what I tell you. You need to bring that nation down. You need to bring that nation down because they're in your way. And don't you want to be the strongest of them all? So Satan is lying to everybody. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up, receive up the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Stand against, oppose in the evil day, in the hurtful, calamitous, vicious, devilish day. And having done all, to stand. You need to stand. This chapter, Ephesians 6, continuously says, stand, stand, stand therefore. Having done all, stand, stand, keep standing. Don't go down in the fight. Amen? Not in this hour, people. We are warriors. Can I tell you something? You know what I pray? I pray to God, Lord, make me a warrior. Make me your warrior, Father. Teach me your ways. Give me your strength. Give me your might. Absolutely. I want to be a warrior for God. We all are, to be honest with you. We're not supposed to lay down, and that's what happened to Adam, man. He forgot who he was. When a man forgets who he is on serious ground. He's along for the ride. The devil has got him. Don't ever forget who you are in Christ. And one of the things you are is a warrior that will win every time because your armor is of God. That armor, you know, it's not an actual armor. But God is a God of righteousness. He has the breastplate of righteousness, and he's given it to us. When he stands in battle, there's no one that can touch his righteousness. There's no one that can touch your righteousness. It's God's righteousness that he's given you. So this armor is of God. Let's go into this. 7, it is up to you to take up to receive the whole armor of God. God will not force this armor on you. It doesn't automatically come on you. You must step into the forces this armor carries. See, it's not the armor per se. I don't actually have a sword, but I have the word. These are all spiritual forces. You must step into the forces this armor carries. Step into these forces that makes you supernatural. Oh, stepping into these forces makes you supernatural and mighty. Yeah. You know, take a soldier just in his little underwear and his t-shirt, and he's just a guy. Put on all his armor, and this guy became an incredible warrior. Amen? That's what your armor will do. 8, the way we stand against and oppose the devil, the evil day, is with this armor. Only the armor can help you destroy the evil day. Did you hear that? We're all going to see evil days, people. But only the armor will help us destroy the evil day. That's what this scripture is saying. Look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So only the armor can help you destroy the evil day. You need each part to be fully geared up and protected. It's like a soldier. He's got the breastplate of righteousness. He's got his gun, his rifle, all his bullets. You know, he's got all his magazines full of bullets, and he's ready to go into warfare. And he forgot his helmet. He forgot his helmet. All the devil has to do is aim right for the head. Pew, and he's out. Amen? Praise God, people. The whole armor. Only the armor can help you destroy the evil day. You need each part to be fully geared up and protected. 9. And after you've made your stand, wage war. Make your stand. Let's say you get an evil news. Let's just take this. The doctors have told you you've got a very serious disease and it's going to take your life. We're giving you maybe 3 months. Well, you have one of two ways to go. You believe what they told you, or you believe the word of God. That's faith. Faith is believing the word of God. And to be honest with you, faith is also believing the words of the devil. Where are you going to place your faith is the question. So if you say, you know what, I'm going to go through this with God. I choose his words that say, by his stripes I was healed, that he sent his word and delivered me from all my destructions, and he healed me. He healed me. Amen. So you make your stand, and then once you say, I'm going with God, start your war. Start fighting back. So after you've made your stand, wage war, fight. You must continue to stand. Stand and resist. Stand and resist quitting no matter what. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Even if you don't know what you're doing. That's what saved me in 1983, and it continues to save me. As long as I don't give up, I will continue to win. Even if it looks like nothing's changing, nothing's advancing, I don't care. As long as I don't quit, I'm not done. I may not know what I'm doing like in 1983. I may be inexperienced in warfare spiritually. It doesn't matter. Make your stand with God. Say, I'm going into this battle. They told me I have this disease. I'm going in it with you, Father God, and your word. I make my stand today. And then you go to war. Amen. And how do you go to war? You're going to find out. It's through prayer. Prayer is the way you wage your war every time. Every single time. That's why God is calling us as a church to start praying. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes a much. Amen. So stand and resist quitting no matter what. Understanding your weapons of warfare. This is how you'll look in the spirit, people. You will have all your gear. It doesn't show the feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Armor of God. First, the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded, fastened your belt to your waist with truth. That belt that this guy is wearing, according to the scripture, is truth. You're going to cinch yourself in the middle with truth. And so fasten your belt to your waist with truth, which means that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. A true principle or belief, especially one of fundamental importance. Basically, what it's saying here is whatever is fact or reality is what's truth. And for us as believers, the only thing that is fact or reality is God's word. That's the only thing. So in a sense, you are arming yourself with the word. You are belting yourself with the word. Why is truth so important? John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You stand in the battle with truth around you, belting you in, and I promise you that truth will lead you out of the trial and make you free. Truth is the most powerful thing you could ever embrace. You cannot be tricked. You cannot be talked out of your victory. You cannot be pulled away from God. You will be so strong mentally because you know the truth, and you're not going to fall for the lies, the trickery, the schemes of the devil. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll set you at liberty. It'll make you just go with truth. You'll just walk right out of it, people. That's what made the difference in 1983 for me. I finally started getting in the Word for myself, learning things for myself, making the stand on my own. Amen? Truth. The belt of truth. Number 10, fasten yourself with the belt of truth. A belt or girdle keeps you put together. It cinches you. And us women, you know, we do wear girdles. And some men too, by the way. They have their own line now of Spanx. No problem, no judgment. I love the fact that men want to look good too as well. I love it. I don't condemn it. I don't think it's stupid. I don't think it's dumb. You know, if you want to do that, do it. If you'll feel better about yourself, do it. So a belt, a girdle keeps you put together. It cinches you. The belt fits closely to the body, to you. So fit yourself with a belt of truth that stays close to you. If we are not held together with truth, deception will consume us. Satan's number one weapon is deception. So when you make your stand, let's say again that example of you have this horrible disease and you know they don't expect you to live more than 3 months. You make your stand. You proclaim war against this attack. You do it by confessions. Father God, I make my stand this day with you by my side, with you inside of me, Father, with your word, with my armor, Father, that I will defeat this thing in Jesus' name. And I proclaim that this assignment is a lie in Jesus' name, Father God. I rebuke this assignment off my body. And Father God, I know the truth. See, the truth. The first thing you need to go to is the truth. These parts of the armor are listed in order of importance. The very first thing you need to put on is truth. What is the truth? Oh my God, there's like, I have pamphlets with hundreds of scriptures about God healing us. The minute he paid for your sins on the cross is the minute he took sickness and disease from you 2,000 years ago. You don't have a sin problem. You don't have a sickness problem. It's just this world, the curse of the law. And by this world, I mean, it's so polluted now. The quality of our food, the air, the environment. We've all got tons of plastic in our cells now because of greedy, evil people. So this world, the curse of the law, the devil for sure, our foolishness, opening up the door, ourselves, all of these things. But none of that matters because Jesus paid for all your sins and he also healed you of all your diseases. That's what Psalms 103 says. He forgives all my iniquities and he heals all my diseases. So now you know the truth. Now you're being held together. No matter what happens, you're standing on the truth now. That makes you more powerful than any assignment, than any devil in hell, than any Satan. Because the truth trumps deception every time. Do you understand? I love you guys. We're going to stop here. I will finish this next week. I promise you I will finish it next week. I love this teaching, people. This is how Pastor and I live. This is how our children live. I mean, let me tell you, one day, I think, I don't know if they were kind of roughhousing a little bit, Andy and Brian. And Brian was already a little teenager, not much old, maybe 12, 13. I don't know, to be honest with you. But we were at the church, and Andy and Brian were roughhousing like that. And she accidentally walked backwards and with her full weight stepped on Brian's foot, who was sideways. It was at an angle. And Brian screamed. Andy looked down and she had crushed the bones in his feet. My kids don't exaggerate. They, in fact, downplay a lot of things that they've experienced. But his foot, Brian's foot, was smashed. It was flat on the side. You know, I mean, let's say this is his foot. It was like this. And Andy, when she stepped on it, she crushed the bones because she went back hard. And the first thing that Andy did, she said, as she reached down, if I remember correctly, Brian, forgive me if I miss some details here, but Andy reached down and grabbed his foot and started praying for him immediately. Why? Because they know the word. They know the truth, that the word trumps anything that can happen to us in this lifetime. Absolutely. It's so powerful, people, that we got born again through it. It's called, we are born again of the incorruptible word of the truth, of the word of God. And we literally have altered our whole eternity based on the truth. If it can affect eternity, it's going to affect the here and now. Well, when Andy reached over and prayed for him in tongues and just started going to warfare for her brother, who was screaming, she broke his foot. She smashed it. Guys, Brian's foot started coming back together, normal, right in front of both of them. I don't know about the details of all of it, but the truth is that Brian's foot got healed that day. We have so many testimonies, people. When Brian was 2 years old, poor Brian. When Brian was 2 years old, he fell down. My mother-in-law was taking care of him. This was in Banning. He fell down and broke his little tooth in the front. He was maybe about four. And it was like, he broke it right up to the gum area. And you could see the root exposed. And she, when we walked in, she was in a flurry, wasn't she, Bill? She was very worried. Pastor's shaking his head. She was very worried. Take him to the dentist right now. That root cannot die. And he won't be able to grow another tooth in there. And he must be in a lot of pain. And in those days, man, we were seeing God do crazy, awesome miracles. That's when I volunteered at Desert Hot Springs Hospital and seeing miracle after miracle in the pediatrics ward. And so my mother-in-law is, take him now, Billy, you've got to take him now. And, you know, we both had walked in kind of at the same time. And Bill said, no, Mom, we're going to pray for him. God's going to take care of that tooth. And my mother-in-law is like, no, you have to go take him. And pastor made a stand. I made the stand with him. And we prayed for our son. Fast forward to, I think Brian was like maybe 7 years old. I don't know, to be honest with you. How old were you, Brian, when I took you to the dentist?
It was 2 years that the root was exposed.
Yeah. From 4 to 6, around 2 years, the root was completely exposed. Brian never cried. Brian never said anything. And when we took him to the dentist, guys, I was in the other room and I could see my little son with his little tennis shoes. He was clicking them, waiting for the dentist. When the dentist walked in, he goes, Mrs. Snyder, he could talk to me across the room where I was. I was also waiting for him to get my teeth cleaned. And he goes, when did this boy break this tooth? And I said, oh, about 2 years ago, doctor. And he goes, that's impossible. The root is completely exposed and it's completely alive. And I said, I know. We prayed. This doctor is actually a Christian, Dr. Otsu. He's precious. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. This is a miracle, Mrs. Snyder. This is a miracle. And Brian's tooth never died. It never got black. He never had issues with it. He's got his teeth. They grew in. That's what you do, people. Because we know the truth. If you just had that as part of your, as your armor, the truth, you'd win every time. But God is so good that he gave us all the other parts. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to continue this message next week. Amen.